The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'm glad you're here. I hope it wasn't bad news for you to realize you're missing out on one of the... Here it goes. You're missing out on one of the most sacred moments in 2016. So, you know, I kind of did think there'd be a really small group, so I was thinking of doing something different than we usually do. And I still not, now that there's so many of you, I'm not sure what to do. But I think that I'd like to just go along with what I was going to do. Kind of a little bit, maybe some ideas, a little bit more intimate thing, maybe more than rather than me sitting giving a, you know, a monologue. It's quite a profession to get into, where I'm professionally allowed to have monologues, and people listen. So it's a kind of a privilege, actually. So I hope I use it well. But so what I'd like to do is for us to do maybe like a 5-minute little guided meditation or guided reflection, and then we'll go from there. So. If you can just resume your meditation posture. And settle in to a posture that feels alert and relaxed for these few minutes. And gently close your eyes. And to settle in, you might take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And as you exhale, maybe a long exhale, relaxing into your body, settling in. And then letting your breathing come back to normal. Feel the contact of your body against your chair, the cushion, the floor. And as you exhale, relax or let go into the pull of gravity. So you feel a solid connection to here, to this place. And perhaps letting your thoughts drift away, maybe like thought bubbles that float away. And for a few minutes, a couple of minutes, we'll sit silently, and then I'll offer you a question to reflect on, contemplative question. So all of you have come here this evening, and I imagine that arriving here, coming here, was the result of a certain interest you had, interest in meditation, mindfulness, mindfulness teaching, Buddhism, spirituality of some kind. And in that realm of your life, of that interest that you have that brought you here today, in relationship to that, whether you're new to meditation or practicing for a long time, what is your deepest intention? What is your deepest or most significant aspiration? You might spend a minute or two just reflecting on this. And what's the core, the primary intention that motivates you in relationship to a spiritual practice, Buddhist practice, meditation practice, being here? So in perhaps having thought maybe some primary or important intention connected to all this, sense of purpose or interest, what question do you have that comes out of that interest? What question do you have that comes out of that intention? And if you are able to ask one question coming out of your deepest intention, how would you formulate that question in a single sentence? So, this afternoon we had a kind of a ceremony here at IMC, a graduation ceremony, for 21 people who went through a two-year training we do here for what's called Dharma Mentors. It's called Dharma Mentor Training Program. And the graduation ceremony was everyone took turns sitting up here on this seat, the Dharma seat. For some people, it was the first time they ever sat here. And then the people who were there attending, they asked a question. Once they took the seat, they were to say, "Dragons and elephants, bring me your question." And then they would, the people in the audience would, the people, you know, they took turns, the people in the program, and they asked each other these questions. So then they'd ask a question, and the person sitting here would respond. And generally the idea was for it to be a relatively brief response, not a long explanation or something. And it was very touching to hear this, partly because they'd known each other for 2 years, and so they knew each other kind of personally, and so they could ask personal questions that had to do with their practice and their being mentors and things. It was quite nice. So, and also at this beginning, they had always asked, dragons and elephants. And that's because in ancient India, dragons or serpents and elephants were considered mighty beasts, mighty spirits, like someone who was, in Sanskrit or Pali, was Naga. Naga sometimes means snake, large snake, but sometimes it refers to like the biggest elephant, strongest elephant in the forest. These big, important beings. So it's a sign of great worthiness and value. So I address you as dragon and elephants. If you would like to share your question with me, I will try respectfully to respond and offer you something in return. If you have, if you'd like. And the idea is the questions are kind of brief, so a long explanation is not to the point.
I was massaging an 88-year-old man who said that he had no regrets about his life, and out of my mouth came, "I regret my life." And he said, "Oh, how could you say that?" And my question is, how can I appreciate my journey, my extraordinary journey for what it is, and get to a place of not having regrets, or is that possible?
I think the best thing for you to do is to forget your past. Don't be so concerned with it. But you redeem it by the next step you take.
That's good. Very good, Gil.
So my question is, you asked about our deepest intention. If it's our deepest intention, how come it's so hard? How come it just doesn't come out as a natural thing?
I'll try and answer on you, and I don't know you well enough, but it's one of the reasons it doesn't come out is because we're afraid. Is that get close to something, or is that not relevant?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. It seems sometimes there's so much going on, it's kind of hard. It's hard not to get overwhelmed, and then, and then you kind of go on automatic and things don't come out the way you want them to anymore.
Yeah. So you might look at fear.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is, how do you have a mind, an equanimous mind, a mind filled with equanimity?
Don't want too much. And for the things you want, don't have much at stake. Is there a mic over here?
So I've been thinking about something, and as soon as you walked me through this, I think I know the answer, but it's a question that intrigues me nonetheless. Finding freedom is so wonderful in my own body, in my own experience, but it also frees me to respond to the outer world in a really beautiful and different way than when my neuroses gets in the way. So who am I finding freedom for? Myself or the other?
So given how you set up your question, my answer is, what is your question? What is your answer?
Yes.
Just
yes for both.
So you have to explain that a little bit.
I can't find that freedom. I can't give of that compassionately to the world, free of my neuroses, if I don't become free. And the benefit of it for myself is that I have the wonderful sense of freedom.
That's a nice. It's a very nice that they go hand in hand.
That's how it seems to me.
Wonderful, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes?
The first thing that came into my head when you asked us to reflect on that was, what is enlightenment and how do I realize it?
By helping out the first person that needs help.
I've kind of realized the importance of trying to make change in my life. And when I look at that, at one point I was thinking I need to change my environment to be in a place where it really supports the change, where I can have routines and whatnot. But then from your talks also, I realize, you know, being where you are is also the perfect place to be. You can be, you know, just as happy or work on things there. So. Still not sure where the best place to be is.
Where what?
Where the best place to be is, you know, change of environment or just, you know, stay where you are and just kind of.
Oh, I see. It's a great question. I don't have the information to tell you the answer. However, if you learn how to be free, peaceful, happy here, wherever you are, then it's portable. And then you're not stuck in one place. So I think it's better to learn to do it anywhere. So you start where you are. And don't be too concerned about changing the environment, unless it's just too. I mean, some environments are just way too difficult.
Yeah, it's not a bad environment, but just a place that's more supportive. You know, more like-minded people, or you know, where you can do more routines or more time to do, you know, the positive things.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
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 I mean, I changed my environment a variety of times when I was younger, to go to monasteries, to go to Asia and practice, and you know, to go on retreat, and I found it very supportive and helpful. But it was never to escape, but it was to learn how to come back and be in the environment where I lived in a freer way.
some moments in my life I can be wise and competent and peaceful, and at others not. So my question is, how can I be my higher self at most times?
Oh, this comes back to the issue of intention. Your higher self is expressed through your intention. And so when it's hard, reestablish your primary intention and live from there. Okay? Great. You pass the mic here to your right.
So when I was doing the exercise, I thought it was a good exercise. What is my intention? Because I think I forget. And then what arose was to be fully, completely, and totally present for each moment of my life. And then I thought, well, how can I do that? And then, of course, I thought, well, I could start sitting more. So I don't. That's one part of the question. The other part is, how do you stop wanting something other than what's in the moment?
Well, what comes to mind for me, kind of in both questions, they're a little bit abstract. They're great questions, but they're a little bit worded abstractly, so it takes you out of the moment. So rather than trying to answer the question abstractly with some idea of how to do it, in what way is it available for you to do right now?
Is it? Well, when I take a breath, it brings me into the moment.
So I think that's a great answer. It's still a little bit abstract. We're together right now. What does it take to be present now, a little bit more than you are? What's it like to be in your body right now?
Well, I feel tightness back here.
Huh? What else do you feel in your body? Does your body give you some sense of presence?
Maybe just from feeling where I'm meeting the chair and sensations in my body.
And that's great. So that, and then you're also in the present moment offering me your attention. And that is being in the present moment, you're paying very careful attention to here. So
I feel my heart.
You feel your heart, great.
Heart connection.
Yeah, because we know each other for a long time.
Right.
It's probably been 30 years, right? So so I would encourage you to answer the question in the immediacy of now. Answer your own question in the immediacy of now. How can you do it, even if just like 2% more than you already are, how can you be more present now? But answer the question now. Don't answer the question in the abstract. Do it.
So that's the question I'll just carry with me.
Yeah. But don't be careful you don't spend too much time thinking about the answer. Just do the answer. Great, thank you. Kathy, if you...
When a few moments ago you were talking about intention and the higher self, that's been floating around in my mind ever since. And one thought I have is, it seems like maybe for me to have that level of intention, there'd have to be a passion with it. I'm not sure of that. Mm. But the other part of it is, I spent a lot of time like working on what's in the way of, you know, something else, whatever it is, higher self, I hope. And I wonder, you know, until I deal with the, you know, neurotic parts of me, like the nice guy, and I am a nice guy, or but then the perfectionistic guy that I'm becoming more and more contact with.
Which one is that?
Perfectionistic guy. Oh. which is not so nice, really. Mm, yeah. I mean, do I really have to get at those before I can have that level of passion and intention that I'm picturing as maybe what you're talking about?
Maybe you'd be a lot happier if you didn't have, weren't so concerned with passion.
If I weren't so concerned about the passion, did you say?
Having passion.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
You might be a lot happier if you weren't so concerned about passion.
So are you saying that it's possible to be in contact with a higher self just with a simple intention to do that?
I think so.
Wow.
Maybe it's a lot easier than you realize.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be easy. Yes.
It's difficult if you have a complicated idea of what higher self is. What if it's already here? And just a matter of relaxing into it.
And the sort of blocks I was talking about, it's not necessary to get rid of those before that higher self is a possibility?
It's not necessary to get rid of it, but what happens if you just relax with those too?
Yes. Now I got it. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Great.
Can you say something about dealing with judgments?
So your question is a great question, but this is your second question. So no, isn't a problem with the second question, but it feels a little bit, now it's getting a little bit too away from the personal. What came out of that meditation is what I wanted more. So is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so if someone else would like to share. So I want to say something about questions that... one of the goal in doing this practice that we teach here is for you to become your own teacher, be able to find your own way. And one of the really important ways to do that is to learn to ask questions, have questions of yourself, and formulate questions and kind of try to find the right questions or the appropriate questions or hone your questions down to what's really important for you. And if sometimes it's enough just to ask the question. You don't have to look for the answer. But to look elsewhere in books or in teachers or someone else that they have some kind of idea of answers. I just go there and listen and be a consumer. That can be fine. It can be inspiring sometimes and you can get good information. But to really kind of make this become your own, it really helps to have questions. And to kind of like, what do I really believe here? What's really important now? What's called on for now? What's the challenge now? What's my sense of purpose in this moment? I spent a number of years in my life asking myself every morning, every day, many times during the day sometimes, what is my deepest intention for that day? And it was really helpful for me to kind of keep asking that question and see how the answers changed over time. And I learned so much about myself and my life and how to live simply from asking that question. And the questions are great. Well, we did this kind of thing here, like we're doing here, once before, many years ago. It was a little different than what we did tonight. We did it, but I didn't give any answers, any responses. There was only questions. And it was quite powerful to hear all the questions. I thought about maybe we should do that today, because just hearing questions is like, you know, it's just like some of the, that itself provides such a big opening. So we have about 10 minutes more for questions. Yes. Is there the mic over?
Yeah, I'd like to share a question. One of my spiritual teachers, Louise Hay, presented this question, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And what she suggested is to get into a deep meditative state and ask the question, what is it that I need to know?
Great.
And she also suggested, I believe, there's another way of going about it, is ask the question just before you go to sleep at night and see if an answer comes to you in a dream.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And yeah, I can't think of a better prayer or question than that, because it'll be different for each of us, I think. Uh-huh.
Great. Thank you.
The intention that came for me, the word that came up for me was freedom, and the question that came up for me had to do with someone who I'm very close to, who seems to be struggling with a lack of freedom, perhaps some kind of addiction, and the question I had was how to help her, and she's not really open to this stuff, you know, but Dharma, but she's open to listening to me, so. The question that just came up to me is, when are you offering that Dharma training again?
The Dharma training?
The Dharma mentor training.
Oh, because you want to be the mentor for her.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it'd probably be another year and a half or so. Mm. And hopefully your friend will listen to you. But my first kind of instinct in these kinds of situations is, have you listened to her well enough? And sometimes being a really good listener is one of the best things we can do. And in fact, in this Dharma mentor training program that we do, the primary skill people are learning is to be good listeners.
Thanks.
When I think of my deepest intention, it's to live a very compassionate life and to learn how to, like, free my heart. And then after hearing that and after hearing you say, like, live the intention, like, don't do the question or don't do the answer, it was like, well, how do I live compassionately and be sensitive but not emotional? Like, how can I be open but not take on the world's suffering? And because I do want to be open and I do want to live compassionately towards everybody, but I'm very emotional and like sensitive about it.
Yeah. Well, I think I don't know you well enough, but my instincts would tell me is your emotional side is one of your gifts. It's a nice part of you, but the question is how not. The question shouldn't be how not to be emotional. Then you're probably just, you know, a zombie or something. But rather, how can you let your emotions free without taking them personally?
I don't want to like hurt other people with my emotions.
Chances are that your emotions hurt other people when you're taking them too personally. When we identify with our emotions, when we believe them, when we define ourselves, when we get involved with them because, you know, when we're kind of overly involved with them, that's when we tend to hurt people. That's one of the conditions for hurting people. So I think to let your emotions, if you let your emotions come freely, but you don't make much of them. You don't take them personally. Then they can be a gift. And then you might find that your ability to respond to people will become more from the compassionate side of the emotions rather than some of the other more difficult sides. So you might explore a little bit for what you think I mean by don't take it don't take your emotions personally. And one way to explore that is to see if there are ways which you think you might be doing that. And become familiar. What does it look like for you to take your emotions personally? And maybe that's an unnecessary step for these beautiful emotions. Okay?
How can I always have love for myself?
So when you love yourself, what are you loving?
My heart, my being, my soul, huh? All the things, how I am. My being, my soul, everything inside of me, how I feel
wonderful.
And how I act.
And the
love that I have for the people around me.
And when in your life have you had the most love for that soul and what's inside of you?
When I'm around family and people that I love, and when I'm sharing my love for them.
Uh-huh. And have you always had that, or something that came more lately?
I think I've always had that.
Nice. So why do you sacrifice it?
Well, sometimes I fight with when I'm fighting, or even just with the people around me, or even I guess with myself. So like, if there aren't other people around, it's like in my own head I'm fighting with myself.
So I think you have a great gift already, and I think I would suggest a question for you is maybe not how can you have love more self-love. But rather, why are you sacrificing it? Why are you giving it up? And start questioning that more, and having doubt about the value of that, understand what that's like, that you lose to that connection. That's probably more important, because then if you get wise about those things, then you might more naturally just settle back into the love you would like to have, rather than forcing it or making it happen. So the question is, why are you sacrificing that self-love? Why are you giving it up? Why is it a good fight is worth giving it up for?
Thank you.
So we probably have time for one more.
Hello. I'm not sure I've got a question, but I'm always curious what your response is. So, what I see my deepest intention is, as I'm going through the day, it's how do I best relate to everything that I'm in, the people I'm with, the circumstances, all of that sort of thing. And so what comes to me then, the question I'm always asking is, what do I do now? Maybe there's a little bit of where am I now?
I see. So really, you stated two questions, right? How to be fully present for what you're doing. Anyway, whatever those two questions were, that's your answer. Have those questions in the forefront more often. Keep them to the forefront. Remind them. Write them on write them on your sleeve or something, or you know.
And what are they?
Put sticky notes around your house and your car and your office with those questions. The questions are great. Having those questions and returning to them over and over again, asking them, how do I do it now? How do I do it now? Mm. How do I do it now? Is much more valuable than me giving you an answer how to do it. Just keep asking those questions. Mm. Keep it close. Keep it close to your heart, those questions, and live with them.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, so I hope this was nice for you. There's the rest of you who sat quietly. I've kind of given a whole series of these longer talks since January, and I thought it was time to do something different than that. And And also to hear from you and hear what kind of questions you have, and it was nice for me. And also to make one point, and that is that to really engage in a spiritual life, or this Buddhist life, or this mindfulness life really well, you need to take responsibility for your own practice. And to do that, having questions, having intentions, knowing what your intentions are, having questions that come out of that, then you become the producer of your path, not the consumer. And we want to be very careful. We're not the consumers of a spiritual life. We're meant to be the producers of it. And so thank you for those of you who spoke and those of you who participated silently. I appreciate it very much. And may we all become producers of the good heart. Thank you.